Father, this morning, God, we gather in your house to worship your name, to hear your word, to be taught by your spirit, to be empowered to live your word in our lives in such a way that it honors and glorifies you, and it shows the world around us, God, that you are worth following. God, this morning I pray for those who are sick, who are broken, who are hurting, for those who are fearful, God, for those who are confused, for those who feel abandoned, devalued, addicted, lost, distant. Everything in between, Father God, we're just people. We're just people going through life, God, and life happens, and depending on where we are in our relationship with you or whether we have a relationship with you is how we respond. And God, and it's in those moments of ups and downs and in-betweens, those moments of uncertainty, and even maybe especially in those moments of confidence when we're so confident, God, that we need you. Father, we lay ourselves before you this morning, God, and we just ask you to be our teacher. Teach us by your spirit that lives within us, God, how to live for you, how to pursue holiness, how to have peace, where to find joy. Teach us how to be obedient. Teach us how to love, how to pursue you. Teach us how to rest in you. Remind us of your word. Remind us that it says that in you we live and we breathe and we have our being. It is the best place to be. Remind us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we are holy. We are blameless. We are children. We are heirs. We are not condemned. We are protected. We are loved beyond what we can imagine, God. We are forgiven. We have grace. We have mercy. And it's just overflowing. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. That you would call us your own in the midst of our sin and separate us from darkness to light, from death to life, God. Thank you that you encourage us in your word. Thank you that you call us up into our identity. Thank you that you call us to live what you've already declared us to be, and nothing can hold us back. Help us to not believe the lies of the enemy, the lies of the world, but to find ourselves in your truth because it is stable. It is consistent. It is forever. God, this morning, just we're yours. Teach us what you want us to know. Teach us what you want us to hear. Teach us to be brave. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you, church. It's good to be here. We have been in this series called Something's Missing for the last 7 or 8 weeks, I guess now. 7 weeks. Today's week 8. And I know that school starts Monday. Isn't that crazy? Not tomorrow, but the next Monday. In a week, school starts. And we're still going to be in our summer series because we plan our summer series for the summer. Okay? So things have changed, but we're going to continue in this series and finish out this series. So today and then two more, and then we'll be finished with our summer series, and then we'll move on into other things. But you hang with us as we continue in this series. And if you're back because school's about to start and you don't know where we've been, then you just can go back and listen to us online. You can listen to us on Facebook or on our website, and you can catch up with all the messages that have been in this series. Now, last week's message was not posted on our website, but it will be this week. And then this message will also be posted and we'll be caught up, but it's already on Facebook. And so please continue to catch up in this series. We have been talking the last couple of weeks about how encouraging it is to be what God says we are. Amen? Because, you know, we're not going to feel that way. And we know our own selves and we know our sin and we know mankind. We know the world we live in. We know the battles that we face. And yet and still, God calls us by all the things I prayed about. He says that in his word. We are holy and we are blameless. He lavishes us with grace. It's just dripping off of us because we need that much grace. And to need that much grace and yet to be called holy and blameless is encouraging, isn't it? God positions us as holy by his choice and by his word, but he calls us to pursue holiness so that we live up to what he's already identified us as. Amen? And so throughout this series, we've been talking about that. The last couple of weeks have been encouraging weeks. And today I want to shift just a little bit, not to a discouraging week, but a challenging week. A week where we're going to be uncomfortable. Are you ready? All right, a couple of yeses, a couple of sures. The rest of you don't know. You're like, ask me after, and then I'll tell you. Right? There's a nod over there. But we're going to talk about something that hinders our walk on a very large scale. Because we're influenced by the things of the world. The world infiltrates. The world we are working in. The world we have some friends in. The world is, you know, coming through our television, advertisements, other people, I mean, you name it, we are bombarded by the world, and the world doesn't have the standard of God. And so sin is all around us, wooing us, drawing us, and telling us it's okay. And there's a particular subject we're going to talk about today, and I'll tell you in a minute what it is that we need to address, because it comes at us in many forms and has bled into the church. And so we need to be aware of that. So we're going to have a conversation about that. You're going to be okay at the end of it. But what we need to know is, where am I out of step with God's word? And we need to know that anyway, amen? I mean, that's why he gives it to us. But where am I in my Christian life out of step with Scripture? We tend to focus on, you know, our prayer life, our church life, our Bible study life, and some of those immediate things that we're trying to grow, we're trying to be faithful. But there are other places that we don't necessarily address that seem a little bit further off, a little bit further out. We'll call them blind spots this morning. But we need to focus on those as well, because they do hinder our progression toward holiness. So we need to address different subjects. Today we're going to address something that is uncomfortable, as I said, but we've got to address those things so that we can reference where we are in our life. And we need to address gossip. That's not what we're going to talk about today, but we need to address it in our lives, right? We need to address our language, if we're honest. We need to address how we dress. Amen. Do you have daughters? Just asking. He's like, yes, three. I have three. We need to address that. Let's address that. We need to address different subjects that the world uses to draw us in to this subject we're going to talk about, not to mention the subject itself. And so you're going, just tell me what the subject is. Are you ready? Sexual immorality. We are bombarded in our world, and it hinders our pursuit of holiness. Amen? And a lot of times we think of it as just somebody had an affair or something like that. But can you see how that pertains to the way we dress? Can you see how that pertains to the way that we talk? Can you see how that pertains to the things we let in through our eyes, we let in through our ears? It is a huge subject that has infiltrated the church heavily. You can look around from time to time. You can see that. And so I want to talk about how it affects us, because last week we talked about our union with Christ. So if I am in Christ and I'm united with Christ, then this subject should not be a part of my life. Amen? Because where I go, I take him. Let's look at it from the reference of Old Testament for just a second. So in the Old Testament, you remember that God was the king of Israel. Amen? He was their God. And Israel decided that they were unsatisfied. And so they decided they wanted a king. Do you remember that story? And they said, we want a king. And then they said the big words, like all the other nations have. We want to be like everybody else. And from that day forward, have we not been? Has the church not battled that continuously? We want to be like everybody else. The church looks more like the world than we're willing to admit. in a lot of different areas of our lives. It's not just this subject. It's financially, or it's, you know, where we go, what we do. It's what we let in our lives, what we allow in our children's lives. It's all, it's just everywhere. But these Israelites thought that they wanted a king, and God in his goodness and his graciousness came to Israel and he said, no, you don't. Now, you think when God says, no, you don't, that would be the end of the conversation. But let me ask you something. When God says, no, you don't to you, is that the end of the conversation? Or do we kind of worm our way through and beg and plead and we justify, we make excuses, right? So Israel says, no, 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 I think we do. And God says, no, 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 you don't, because this is what it's going to cost you. Your sons, your daughters, your crops, your fields, percentage of everything you have. You're going to go under man's rule. To be like all the other nations. You're going to be at war like all the other nations with a man as your leader instead of God. Are you sure you want a God? Oh, yes. A king. Yes, we want a king. We want a king. And what would happen with these kings is we would have some really good kings. We've got some great kings in Old Testament scripture, don't we? There's a few of them here and there. They're kind of dispersed around, but there's a whole lot of kings that weren't so good. And the problem with the kings that weren't so good is the kings that weren't so good didn't make Israel follow God, follow the law, do the sacrificial system, not worship idols. And so what would happen is all these places would begin to be built around their cities called high places. And in those high places, it would be places where other forms of cultural worship would take place and Israel would get involved. So there were sacrifices at the high places. There was prostitution at the high places. There was idolatry at the high places. And then what would happen is the next king that came in that was a good king, he would get Israel back on track, but 9 times out of 10, he would ignore the high places. He didn't do everything that God said to do. He'd call the people to repentance. He'd read the word of God. He'd have the Levitical, you know, the priests and all that stuff. The sacrificial system would all come back in and Israel would repent of their sins. But the high places were still there. Why? They were a blind spot. It was so normal in their culture that it wasn't a big deal. But it was a big deal. And here's the reality. For you and I, we have blind spots in our lives, don't we? Things we don't want to address, don't want to face, don't want to talk about. They're peripheral. They're not as important as my prayer life. They're not as important as my Bible study. They're not as important as my church attendance. But I gossip. And if I cover it under the guise of prayer, I feel better about myself. Well, I'm just telling you this so you can pray for them. Right? We don't address those. They're blind spots. Why? Because the world does it all the time. Everywhere you go, you're saturated with worldly stuff. And so we've gotten so used to it, we don't think some things are a big deal. But they're a big deal to God, and we're a chosen people. So we should look how? Like God, different, right? I don't think we want to look different, because when we look different, it costs us something. And so I'm willing to look a little bit different, but radically different? What if I don't have friends? What if I don't get promoted? What if somebody calls me a prude? Welcome to Christianity. The world is going to get further and further and further and further away, if that was even possible. More radically further away, more openly, I should say, further away. Reveal the sin as it is, just who cares, more and more, which should greatly contrast with God's church. Amen? But what happens is these blind spots, these high places that are in our lives, we let them in because we're so exposed to it. It's not like it just comes through other people. It comes through our TV. It comes through advertisements we don't even want to watch or look at, or billboards, or how, like I said, how people walking past you dress. It affects us in every way, and it becomes the new normal. We get so used to it, we get dumbed down spiritually. Our sensitivity fades. And the next thing you know is it's in the church, it's in the family, it's in the individual. That's our reality. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. This is who we are. We're sinners. Amen? Saved by grace. But we can't be dependent on grace as an excuse to sin. Amen? And so, do we touch this subject? Yes, we do. We're going to touch it today, okay? And so that's what happened in Old Testament. That's what happens now. Here's the thing that's scary is the things that are high places or blind spots, there was a time in our life where probably that was offensive to us. Go back in your mind to maybe several years ago when everything wasn't so blatant in the world as it is now, and think about the things that were really offensive to you. And now look at it today. We've gotten so used to it. Are we offended by the things that God would like us to be offended by? And then let's back up. Are we even shocked by those things anymore? Back it up a little bit more. Are we even surprised a little bit by those things? Have we just acclimated to those things? That's sort of the pattern that happens when we're no longer offended by them. Now, when I say offended, I mean offended because of God's word, God's law, and what he's called us to be, not because we're so far above those things, because we're still sinners, amen? But until we're convicted of that, to where it creates an offense in our life won't change, therefore, we're still acting like the world. So what I see in the culture that's moving so fast in the wrong direction, the speed is unbelievable. Like, I mean, I can go back several years and see it, but even, I think even young people can see it. I mean, it is just so fast. I mean, the commercials on TV, I'm like, the other night I saw a commercial on TV, I won't tell you what it was, but I saw this commercial on TV and I was like, did that just happen? I was so floored. I said, Lori's in the kitchen. I said, did you just see that commercial? And she's like, no. And so I told her what the commercial was because I could tell her what the commercial was. I won't tell you. And we were both just like, and rarely does that happen to me. Because I'll be honest with you, there are things that offend me, but they don't shock me anymore. Because I'm just so used to it. It's like, this world is crazy. Thank you. This world is so crazy. And that was like one of the things that just jaw-dropping to me. And I didn't think that could happen anymore because I talk to people with issues and problems and you can't drop your jaw and you have to minister to people. That's what you do. We all should be doing that. You can't say come back when you're better. You walk them through it. But wow, to be shocked, it doesn't happen very often to me anymore. I don't know if it's because I'm desensitized to the culture or I'm just so used to the culture doing that that nothing surprises me that the culture does. I think that's what it is. I hope that's what it is. I pray that's what it is. But wow. Shocking in prime time. So whether it's in real life, movies, the way we dress, the conversations we have, let's address this particular issue because it's a high place. It's everywhere around us, and we tend to ignore the high places. Do you remember when Paul met with the Jerusalem Council and he wrote a letter to the Gentiles? Now, the Gentiles were a people that recently had come to Christ. You know, God's chosen people were the Jews, and then the message went out to the Gentiles. And so they were trying to say, you know, what do we say to the Gentiles? What are the major issues in the Gentiles' lives that they're struggling with that we need to address? Because we don't want to overwhelm them. But there's some questions about the Jews and the Gentiles, and the conversation was going on in the Jerusalem Council. And so they decided to write a letter to the Gentiles to encourage them, but they did mention three things in that letter. I'm not going to tell you all three because we're only preaching on one today, but guess what one of them was? Sexual immorality. It's like you don't want to say that in church. It's in the Bible. You can say it out loud. It's all right. Sexual immorality is one of the things. Why? Because in the Gentiles' minds, all of a sudden you mean we're included with God? We're in Christ? Grace, grace, grace? It's like a license to do anything because I'm forgiven. And that was already their culture. And so now they've come out of darkness into light, but they were still living very much in that culture. And so the Jerusalem Council writes a letter. He goes out to the Gentiles. Let's focus on this because it's pleasing to God. Let's pursue holiness because God calls us holy and blameless. So let's pursue it. And he addressed that particular issue. It's an issue that is still alive and not well, but alive today. So let's compare our view of it with God's view of it. How about that? Let's always go to Scripture. Amen. So turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the seventh book in your New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, 1 Corinthians. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses this head on. Now, why does Paul address this head on in the book of 1 Corinthians? Well, if you'll remember, the Corinthian church was a wreck. If you'll remember, the Corinthian church was, of course, founded in the city of Corinth. Corinth is a port city, so you have all this stuff coming into Corinth. You have people that are coming in that are rough. I mean, we like sea people, right? Seamen are coming in left and right, and they practice everything under the sun. It was full of prostitution because the ships would come in, and the men had been away to sea for so long, so it was so prevalent in the society. There was all different kinds of religions in there, all different kinds of quote-unquote worship, idol worship going on, all different kinds of bars and sexual immorality. And in this church that is in the middle of all of this, trying to battle it, it had become so commonplace because they were surrounded by it and they couldn't stand or didn't know how to stand, or maybe that they should stand, that there was actually a scenario going on where a man was sleeping with his father's wife. Now, it was not his mother, it was his stepmother. But the church was approving of it. They had nothing to say about it. Rock and roll, here we go. And Paul has to write this letter and say, what is going on? And so he addresses the church. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, he specifically addresses their attitude toward this subject. And so turn to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, and let's see what Paul has to say. Now notice in verse 12 that what's in quotation marks and what's not. What's in quotation marks is Paul quoting what they say. Paul's quoting their attitude. And then he responds, when it's not in quotation marks, with the correct answer. And so this is what he says as he addresses this. He says in verse 12, and instead of quotation marks, I'll just say, you say. So you'll know what I'm talking about, right? So the Corinthians were saying this. They were saying, everything is permissible for me. Why? Because all of a sudden they got introduced to grace. They got introduced to the kingdom of God. They realized, we're in. And so Paul quotes him and he says, you say, everything's permissible for me. But I say, not everything is beneficial. Right? So there's so much grace. It will cover my sin. But there are things that if I practice are going to hinder my walk with Christ or my pursuit of holiness. Amen? And that's for all of us in any subject that God convicts us of or is in his word that we don't respond to through obedience. It's just a reality. And so Paul says here, you say everything's permissible for me, but I say not everything is beneficial. You say everything is permissible for me, but I say I will not be mastered by anything. Do you remember last week in the book of Romans, Paul wrote the same thing. He said, sin will not be your what? Master. So Paul's not going to write one thing to one church and something different to another church. For all of us, he says it today. Sin will not be your master. Say amen. Amen. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Christ's death on the cross, his empowerment by the Holy Spirit, prevents sin from being our master. I wish we could say that I will be sinless the rest of my life, that never a thought would go through my brain again. But that's what grace is for. It's not a license to sin. It's for when I need to repent and turn back to God. He says here, you say everything's permissible for me, but I say I will not be mastered by anything. He goes on and says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But I say, but God will destroy them both. So in other words, the attitude that they had is that it has no bearing on my spiritual. This was the implication. So he says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. It doesn't matter what I eat. It doesn't matter if I eat meat sacrificed to idols, which is why the Jerusalem Council had to mention that in one of their in their letter. But he's saying it doesn't matter because grace, grace, grace. It doesn't matter law-wise, but it matters relationship-wise, okay? And so Paul comes along here, and he says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but you got to understand God has authority over all that stuff. God said, you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, there's nothing he doesn't see. Everyone will give an account. Everyone will give an account for everything. That means God sees everything. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. But here, their attitude was, it doesn't really matter what I do on the outside. It doesn't really matter what I do physically because spiritually I'm okay. And Paul comes along and he goes, no. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. It does matter. And then he goes on and he says, because he's talking about sexual immorality, and he says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Why? We're in Christ. We were bought at a price, right? So the body is not meant to do things God doesn't desire us to do. Our body belongs to the Lord. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, this is the suit that I walk around in. This is my earth suit that I walk around in to live for the Lord. Amen? That's why I have it, to live for the Lord, to function. When I die, the minute you die, you know what you're called? A body. Clint, you know, you're in that business, that field, right? They found his body. I just went from a person to a body. I mean, like, Mike, they didn't say they found Mike Adams. The news, you know, says they found the body of Mike Adams. You know why? It's so funny how the news talks truth and they don't even know they're talking truth. because the spirit is gone. The real Mike is gone. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if they know or not, they're speaking truth. Not trying to get you nervous, Mike. I think you'll be all right. Be smart and safe. You'll be good. But he says here, the body is meant for the Lord. This is our earth suit. This is our operating outfit, okay? He goes on and he says, by his power, in verse 14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Remember, we talked about that last week. We're going to be raised with Christ. We're crucified with Christ. We're going to be raised with Christ. He goes on and he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Why? Because we're unified in Christ. We're in Christ. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. And all of us in the room go, well, I would never do that. That's just an example that that Paul's giving. It's an example. When you unite your body with someone else that you're not one with, that's an offense to God. It's considered sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, whatever thing in between you want to call. That's what he says. I'm just reading scripture. Don't get mad at me. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Take a little side trip with me here. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. Okay? That's why marriage is so important. Because as Jesus unites us with himself, if a man remains in me and I am him, he will bear much fruit, right? If you live as Jesus did, you'll walk, right? Anyone who claims to walk in him will walk as Jesus did. Live in him, walk as Jesus did. So we're in Christ, right? We're united. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. We're secure. We're safe. We're on our way up, okay? Marriage is the same picture. A man and a woman come together. Marriage was created by God to be an image of the church. Therefore, when they come together, they are one, just as Christ, we being in Christ, are one with him. That's why it's so important. God is the creator of marriage. God is the creator of sex and intimacy. And so, when you participate in something outside of that standard, that picture, if you will, this is the same as being with a prostitute, he's saying, because we're prostituting ourselves. It's a picture of idolatry. Okay? That's what it's a picture of. That's why it's offense to God. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. And you need to get rid of all of your idols. And yet what we're doing is we're going out, we're saying, hey, open the gate for me. I want to go out for a second and practice what the world practices. Then let me back in. If you did that at home, would that not be an offense to your spouse? Hey, I'm going out tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to see Karen. Going to see Richard, but I'll be back tomorrow. Open the gate, close the gate. No, you're going to come back and the locks are going to be changed. Good luck to you. Your clothes will be burned on the front porch if you even get them back. Right? I mean, no one's going to put up with that, but we ask God to put up with that, don't we? We ask God to put up with that. But I would never prostitute myself. Anytime you give yourself to someone that is outside the covenant of marriage, you have prostituted yourself. And by the way, let me just say something. We're going to take some side trips here, just comments that go through my mind because I'm ADD. That's someone else's daughter. How many of you have daughters? You good for a free-for-all with your daughter? Just pass her from man to man until she gets married? I mean, we're dating. That's someone else's son. Someone else's head of the house. Someone else's instrument that God's going to use to lead. That was free. But you need to hear it. We unite ourselves in that way. The two become one flesh. He says he unites himself with the Lord as one in spirit. And then he gives us the solution. Don't you love how God's word always gives a solution? He never says, now go figure it out. He never does that. Verse 18, what's the first word? Flee. What's another word for flee? Run. Right? So he says in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but the one who sins sexually sins against his own body. And then he tells us why. Do you not know? I love how he reminds us. Do you not know? He, you know, Jesus used to do this with the Pharisees. Have you not read? and just put them on the spot. Here he says the same thing. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. What's the price? The death of Jesus. Therefore, honor God with your body. So he gives us this great solution. Flee. Now, what's interesting is last week when we were talking about the things that God said about us, we said that we need to consider those things and then conclude truth. This is not one of those things that he wants us to weigh in our mind. Why? Because you think long, you think wrong. You start letting that stuff in, the next thing you know, instead of running from it, you're tempted by it. So he says, flee. He says, run. Don't hesitate. Don't dabble. Don't pursue. Don't experiment. Don't test the boundaries. Don't see how far you can go and still feel okay. Run. 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 That's what he says for us to do. And again, it's not just in a sexual relationship. It's when you turn on the, look, okay, you ready? You turn on the TV and you watch a movie, and I know this is difficult. You watch a movie and you're like, it's such a good movie. There's just that one scene, right? That one very graphic scene. And we go, well, you know what? I'm strong enough to handle it. That's what we say. I'm strong enough to handle it. We deceive ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things. I'm strong enough to handle it. But it's a seed that just gets in there and it stays with you, right? It just stays with you. And if you don't deal with it, guess what it is? It's a blind spot. It's a high place. And it makes you more acclimated to seeing the things around you to where you don't see them anymore, even when they get closer. Dare I go down this road? Yes, I will. What kind of clothes do you buy for your daughter? What do you let your daughter wear? And here's the problem with it. Again, we're okay. We have an understanding in our life. We have an understanding in our family. What you're forgetting is it's not about you. It's about him. And when we dress in a certain way that makes someone else lust after us, you have caused someone to stumble. And you're accountable to God for that. But in this world, let me ask you something, ladies, because there's particular